Hello, and welcome back to the Man I Love Film podcast. I'm Issa.
And I'm Cho.
And I feel like we should start saying the movie that we're doing in the
At the
beginning
beginning.
because sometimes we just launch into like 17 minutes. They're always specifically around 17 minutes. 17 minute like intros before we
It's the
get into
perfect
the
amount of
movie.
time.
It is the perfect amount of time. That being said, this week we watched Drive Away Dolls, which like just came out, I think.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, anything new happen with you between now and Sunday?
In the 4 days that I have been, okay, so thinking between now and Sunday, I discovered that one picture of Chris Evans coming out of a Beyonce concert, and he has like his hands on his head, and he just looks like I don't know what he is pondering.
I just
If
want to
you
know the
check our
context.
TikTok, if you check our TikTok, it's under the Beatles one. It's the one we use for Chris Evans when like he's supposed to be Paul, the Beatles. But yeah, that picture, and his hands are his head. He's wearing a hat for some
A
reason.
beanie.
Apparently, he's coming out of a Beyonce concert, is what happened. But I'm like, what happened at the Be like, you know what? Maybe, I have never been to a Beyonce concert. Maybe it truly makes you ponder like that afterwards. Like to resonate. But it's so funny to me, and I've been using it to describe every time I feel an emotion. Like my work crush didn't say hi to me, Chris Evans' hands on his head.
We need to start making like a folder of like reaction photos.
My favorite thing, just to be like, turns out I'm cooked. Chris Evans' hands on his head image. So, I guess that's really it. Like I obviously do things at school and work, but me personally, we're just chugging along. You're having a lovely little treat right now. I just had my lovely little treat. I got a little they have like a Biscoff custard, and let me tell you that. That hit every spot. That was so tasty, and one could call it scrumdrulescent, even.
From Drew Lesson. You could call it that. You could also call it anything else. No, I love it.
Yeah, but what little treat are you sipping on right now?
I am having a margarita homemade. I specifically got the Jimmy Buffett Rest in Peace margarita mix. It's not called that. But the rest in peace is in parentheses.
Imagine if they made a rest in peace Jimmy Buffett margarita mix.
Honestly, that would make a lot of money. Yeah, I was like, I was looking up like cherry jubilee cocktails because we just did the holdovers. But then I was like, okay, well, holdovers was last week, or for us, Sunday. Today is Drive Away Dolls. And in the movie, they go to Florida. And I was like, what's more Floridian than specifically a Jimmy Buffett margarita? So, and with tahini. Literally.
Yeah, it looks, the presentation is really nice. She has this pink little straw. It's in a glass cup and everything. It's very, very nice.
It's very, what is the word that you just used? Scrum.
Would like to explain, I was on Facebook and my uncle made like a dinner or something, and he can't just like speak normally for some reason. Like he just chooses to be like this, and he was like, his daughter was like, "Oh, that looks delicious." And he was like, "You could call it scrumdrulescent." I was like, thinking about it for days,
I'm
months,
having a
even.
scrumdrulescent margarita right now.
I think he's mixing the word scrumptious and like, I don't know what the other word is.
It's like opulescent doesn't make sense.
No.
Anything ending with the suffix "-escent" makes no sense.
The Drew Lessons is funny to me. What is he on? But it's my favorite word right now, just to think about.
Yeah, so my mic doesn't pick up mouth noises very easily.
Okay.
But just in case, I apologize for any tahine licking noises. We should be fine.
ASMR.
Yeah. Yeah, only thing new with me is I watched Dune 1 in preparation for Dune 2. Did take me 3 days. It's a long movie. Also, I was trying to like, I'm reading the book right now, which like Isabel
Oh.
finish a book challenge. I'm like in the middle of like three different books right now.
I feel that, me too.
So yeah, I was like trying to read it and then watch the movies again. That's just not gonna happen. So I was like, and it leaves Netflix today. So I was like, I have to watch it before it leaves Netflix because they love to take movies off right before the sequel comes out. So I was like, I need to refresh my brain because I haven't seen it since I saw it in theaters and nothing was retained during that viewing. I don't even mean like right after. It was going in one ear, out the other. And it's interesting because I really liked it this time around. And I had the same experience with Blade Runner 2049. Another what is his name? Villeneuve movie.
Yeah.
And now Blade Runner is like one of specifically the second one, not the first one. I need everyone to know that. Is one of my favorite movies. It's in my top four in Letterboxd. And that's because I went on Wikipedia and I looked up what happened. And sometimes you need to do that. So I just want to let everyone know that there's no shame in having to do that because then sometimes it'll become your new favorite movie because you're like, oh, I can finally. There's little to no dialogue in either movie, honestly.
Yeah.
And apparently he's infamous for not loving dialogue, what I
Yeah.
heard. I think he might have said, don't quote me. I could have sworn I heard somewhere like yesterday. He said, and I quote, don't quote me, and I quote, dialogue is for television. Which, all
You know,
right.
that makes sense. I really do like that one movie he did, what is it called? Arrival with Amy Adams. I really, really like that movie. I like the way it
I
was
don't think
shot.
I've seen
I
it.
liked, really, it's about like the aliens. I really like that one. And I watched Prisoners recently. I didn't like it as much. So, and I saw Dune, also didn't like it as much, but I feel like Arrival has a little bit more talking in it. So maybe that's it. Talking about that, I was also like, because you mentioned like streaming services and stuff. So I was clicking through, looking for a movie, and I sent you a voice message because on HBO Max right now, they have. Should I just
I was
play
like,
the
what is she
message?
talking? Yeah.
Okay.
If it'll pick it up, your
I
mic
don't know
hasn't
if
been
they have
picking.
HBO, but they have a tab because they added the Aquaman movies, and it's like Jason Momoa picks his favorites. First one, Joker. Second one, Seven Samurai. Third one, Dune, which he's in. The fourth one is Aquaman, which he's also in. Fifth one, Rocky. Sixth, Rocky Two. Seventh, Rocky Three. Eighth, Rocky Four. Ninth, Rocky Five. 10, Rocky Balboa. Like,
I
what
know.
is, oh, not the next voice message. Oh, but what is he on? What the fact he chose, you know what, an interesting list, because he chose all the Rocky movies plus two of his own films and then Joker and Seven Samurai. Like a classic, a new interesting move jobs. And then, like, I guess maybe he really loves those Rocky movies.
Apparently, I'm surprised they let him just like list them all out like that.
All.
I didn't know how many there were until your voice was.
Me either. I was sitting there and I was like, because I was clicking through and I was like, another Rocky movie? And it was just, it was insane. But Anyway, by the time I actually chose a movie, I started the movie Speed Racer. And I'm not done with it. I'm not done with it. I'm only about a quarter of the way through. The minute it turned on, it was like something in my brain reclicked. I felt like I was watching Tron Legacy for the first time.
No, literally, we need to do like a Tron Legacy Speed Racer like double feature episode because I've been wanting to rewatch that movie for so long. It feels like a fever dream.
It feels like it feels like if the Fountain of Youth were real and they could just and they did an IV instead of like, bathing or drinking it, it feels like Pop Rocks in your brain. I don't know how to describe the high I felt watching the first quarter of this movie because I was gonna do work, passively do work while like watching it, put the work down, laptop closed. I was like, this is a
Cinema.
vision. Like literally a vision of the future. Just like Tron Legacy, when that Daft Punk soundtrack pulls up and you're like,
Oh.
whoa, that is what Speed Racer visually did for my brain. So I gotta finish that, but honestly, I'm obsessed already. Like, I'm obsessed.
I need to rewatch it. I don't remember anything about it except for how it looked.
Yeah, and just people keep popping up, like actors and actresses, and I'm like,
Ethan Hawke is gonna come up and scare you.
Ethan Hawke is in it too.
Oh, I have no idea. I just given your track record of like.
I swear, he just pops up. He pops up like I could never escape him.
He comes out, he's like, I'm the speed race.
Yeah, I was the speed racer all along.
The whole maybe never mind. I was trying to do like a maybe a blank was the blank we made along the way, but I couldn't think of how to make that work. I've
I don't
already
even
almost
know.
finished this margarita. We ready for this movie?
Yeah.
All right. Would you like to read the letterbox?
I will. Drive Away Dolls, directed by Ethan Coen from this year. A story of two ladies going south. Jamie, that's it, right? That's how you pronounce Jamie.
My brain has already been trauma blocking things from this movie, so I am not the person
Jamie, an uninhibited free spirit, bemoaning yet another breakup with a girlfriend, and her demure friend, Marion, which I don't think they pronounced it Marion in the movie.
think they call her Mary for most of it.
Yeah. This really needs to loosen up. In search of a fresh start, the two embark on an impromptu road trip to Tallahassee, but things quickly go awry when they cross paths with a group of inept criminals along the way.
If I would say she's bemoaning her ex-girlfriend.
Yeah, what exactly call it then? Seems like we start the movie and she's banging someone else.
Yeah, like that is the very first thing that you see.
In the movie.
Yeah.
It's
Which
also a.
you asked. Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was just gonna mention how quick this movie is while also feeling longer than it is.
It's interesting that you say that because I felt like this movie was like right before it ended, I was like, I feel like there's so much left, like nothing has really been resolved. And then it ended. And I was like, oh, I mean, I guess like I get to leave now.
I'm sorry, I interrupted you. We were talking about her banging someone
No, you're
else the
good.
first scene of the movie. It feels like. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna ask you because you asked me if I had ever seen any Coen Brothers movies before, and I think I just like clicked Ethan Coen's like letterboxed thing, and it said that he directed True Grit and Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which I had seen. Well, I think those are the only two I had seen. I know he directs things with his brother, but I don't know because he, bro, I think he is the only person who directed this. I don't think that his brother was involved, at least like from
Yeah,
a
no.
director position. So I don't know if his brother was directing or co-directing the other movies that I have seen, which feel very tonally different from this movie. Tonally and technically different. So I'm like left with the impression that the other Coen brother, whose name I don't know, had to have had a bigger part in creating those movies, if not flat out being a co-director, and that Ethan Coen was just on like a backpack leash the whole time. And then his brother let go of the leash, and now we have this movie.
I think that I can see the influence of like his other stuff in some ways in like how, oh, also spoiler warning if you're like haven't seen it, but at some point in the beginning, at the very beginning, they start stabbing Pedro Pascal in the neck. It's pretty gruesome. Like I kind of just was like, ugh. Like
Yeah, I was worried that it was going to be like that for the whole movie. And I was like,
I was
oh.
also, yeah, I was also worried about that because, Coen Brothers also did like the movies I've seen that involve the Coen Brothers in some ways, are, what's it called? Like No Country for Old Men, which is about like a serial killer. Like a kind of, well, serial killer is a loose term. And then also they're involved with Fargo. And Fargo is directed, I believe, by his brother, but also there are some pretty gnarly, I don't know how to say body horror, but bloody scenes. And so like in that, and then in the shootout that they have later on, I kind of felt like, okay, like I can see some of the like influence here. But they also did like Big Lebowski, things like that, which I haven't seen. I feel like maybe if I've seen other things, like I would get, like I would understand it a lot more. Maybe like influences and stuff. But obviously, I feel like this is a very different theme and tone of movie than a lot of the other ones are.
I'm trying to like remember if True Grit had anything like particularly like reminiscent at all of this movie, or I should say like the other way around, like if any part of this movie was reminiscent of like any aspect of True Grit, but it wasn't that I can remember. And I watched that one more recently, and then Ballad of Buster Scruggs I watched in like 2020, like right when the pandemic started. And I think I remember parts of it being violent. Both of them are
Yeah, I
like
watched that one
cowboy
too.
movies. Yeah, but it's like I was mentally prepared for that kind of. Like the
No.
tone felt like it was like setting me up, not necessarily to expect violence, but like to not be shocked by it, you know? And like the vibes were a little like quirky and strange, like in this movie, but like this movie is like those vibes on acid in a very literal sense.
I will admit that this kind of like the storyline with like the cases and like Pedro Pascal's character and us like figuring out what's going on is reminiscent of other Coen Brothers movies where like you're kind of like figuring it out. Either you know from like two party perspectives of like what's going on in these two groups and then they intersect at some point, or like we're kind of like figuring out the mystery or whatever. So like I think that's pretty similar of like these like two groups of people are figuring out what's going on. But it did lead me a little awry when I was like, there are some transitions at some points in this movie where they actually do play a role in the movie, like the plot, at like eventually you figure out what's going on. But for a good like 50% of this like 84-minute movie, I was like, what is going, like they're like psychedelic groovy transitions, and I was like, I mean, okay, like Okay.
Go off, I
And then at
guess.
one, yeah, at one point, there's just a spinning pizza. Like my note literally says, the pizza is spinning behind psychedelic music and lights. And then the next one says, these random transitions have me pissing myself. Oh my God. Because they happen, like a scene will happen, and then they'll be like, doo doo doo. And like, I can't even like
Like that
do an
70s show.
impression. Yeah. And I was like, and then for some reason, someone starts like talking over them. And then at some point, it was me like writing a note, and halfway through the note, it goes, is that Miley Cyrus? Miley Cyrus becomes part of the psychedelic dreams. But I feel like first we should go over a plot that isn't kind of like the synopsis of the movie, like a general plot point thing. So, like, I guess we start out the movie. Like, we'll just go start to finish, just kind of quick, I guess. So, we start at the movie, and Jamie is with another woman, but we don't know. At the time, she is the other woman. And because Mary keeps like calls her once and is like, hey, are we going to this hangout? Like, I don't want to go alone or whatever. And she is like very much having sex with this, but like the and it's like hitting their like voicemail, because I think they're also, what time is this set? Like the
Like the night, like I think it's
90s.
like 1999.
Yeah. So they're like in the 90s, so it's like on her voicemail. But the voicemail's playing out loud as they're having sex. And then it rings again, and she thinks it's Mary calling her. So she picks it up and is like, don't call me while I'm having sex. And then it turns out it's her girlfriend. So then her girlfriend breaks up with her very, very loudly at a club, because later they go to a club and she calls her a skank. And then I think punches her as she's like doing a comedy set or something. She's like announcing something at the club. I don't know why they give her a mic, but they give Jamie a
No,
mic.
literally, the first thing I wrote was Beanie Feldstein, who plays the ex-girlfriend, says, "Don't put that woman on stage in front of a microphone."
Like, yeah. So Jamie and Mary go back to Mary's place, and she's like, oh, like I don't even know what I'm doing, like whatever. And then Mary's like, oh, well, you can't crash here, like I'm leaving for the weekend. And she's like, oh my God, no way, me too, XOXO, where are we going? And so Mary's trying to go visit her aunt in Florida, which it was Tallahassee, right?
Yeah.
They're going to Tallanasty.
Hella nasty.
Tallanasty.
I'm
And
going to Tallanasty this weekend.
oh my gosh. But
Tomorrow,
like,
specifically.
everyone, when they talk about it, is like, why would you go there?
No,
And she's like,
literally.
Tallahassee's very nice, actually. Me talking about Florida to anyone.
Hey, but even Tallahassee, I've never heard anyone from Tallahassee defend Tallahassee.
Okay, yeah, no, because like she was defending it, and I was like, I'll defend Florida, but like
Aspects of
Tallanasty.
Florida.
To be clear, yet again on the podcast,
Oh my
a
gosh.
call to arms in voting.
Use your odds to go to a
To vote.
polling booth and check off a box and nothing else.
We are not calling for anything else. But yeah, they just keep being like, oh, that kind of sucks. And so Jamie's like, we should do a drive away, which is like, I've never heard of this.
I
Have
had never
you?
heard of this either. Maybe it's like before our time. Like,
I
because
think it
now
still happens. I'm not sure though.
I'm confused because, like, I guess, I mean, I'll let you describe first what a drive-away is, and then I have a thought.
Okay, so a drive away is there is a service that you go take your car and you're like, look, I need this car to this destination by this time or this date. And so they drop the car off, and then there are people who come in who, instead of like renting a car, they will do a driveway. So they'll be like, oh, I'm headed to this direction. Do you have a car that's headed to that direction during these dates and times? And so they kind of are just like, yeah, here's the car, here's the keys, get it to this place by this time. Like that's it. So it's kind of like exchanging the ride for like your labor of getting the car there. And I'd never really heard of this. Thinking vaguely about it, it makes sense. Like, instead of having to like pay someone to move your car, like for people who just want to need the car for like a little bit just to get somewhere. But yeah, so they decide to do that. And when they do, as they're coming in, the guy who rents the drive-away cars is getting a phone call from an ominous man about needing a car at a certain place. And like, he's like, yeah, sure, Tallahassee, ew. And so then the girls come in, dildo box in hand, and they're like, we need to
We
get to
did not
Tallahassee.
explain that.
There's a dildo in the box. Just out. Just.
Okay, well, specifically, Jamie comes back to her girlfriend's apartment to get all her stuff and leave. And Beanie Feldstein is drilling like a dildo on a, like the fish that talk on your wall into the wall. And then they
They're
take
drilling
it
it out of the
off.
wall.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay. It's very low on the wall. That's not, I mean, I guess they could get on the floor. Anyways, so get off the wall to give it back to her. I was just thinking of it being used standing up.
No, okay, just.
And yeah, so she, it's like just hanging out of this box.
But yeah, so this is the first. This is a foreshadow, a foreshadowing thought. Keep that in mind for later. But
Mouse
yeah,
couture.
so the guy gives them the car that like the ominous person had like called about and was like, I need it by here to Tallahassee by tomorrow night. So they get the car, and it turns out they are definitely not getting there by tomorrow night. They get in, Jamie's already vandalized the car. Already painted on it. It's not coming off. And so they're driving, and Jamie's very adamant about getting Mary laid, which all the great 90s and 80s movies are about. And so they go out to a bar. I think it was, I can't even remember where they were by this point. They're driving south. So they're at this bar, and Mary's just not feeling it. And so she goes back to read her book. And she's reading her book, and Jamie comes back with a girl and kicks her out. So she has to read her book outside in like a bus stop.
I think she's in the office of this
Oh my.
like motel.
Yeah, and it's just like one of those like very cheap, random highway side motels. And so her and Jamie are a little rough that next day. But they like, I think at this point, they're still in Georgia, right?
I have no idea where they are at any point
You
in this
writing?
movie. Until they get to Florida, I'm like, okay, we're
Same.
in Florida. I figure that they start in New York because the vibes are just giving New York. I think at one point they pull out a map and they're like,
Yeah,
this is the route that we
it's a
have to
straight
take.
shot.
Because, yeah, because Jamie wants to stop at like the world's giant, biggest cup of yogurt and things like that. And Jamie's just like, or I mean, Mary's just like, you literally go down and to the left. And then you're there. Just
Yeah.
go there.
So they get somewhere, they're driving, and then they follow a truck stop and they meet, like, Jamie purposely meets, like, a female soccer team, like, just like a full soccer team. I think they're college.
They're at like a diner and they see the soccer team and they're giving high
Yeah.
school vibes. Like this soccer team is giving high school
Thought
energy.
they were college because they live in a house together.
I figured they were because Mary and Jamie are clearly adults, and I would hope, although I would not hold it against this movie, or like I, given everything else in this movie, I wouldn't be surprised if they were not adults. But I was hopeful, and I assumed that they were adults because they, yeah, they're all just like living in a house together. And it's
Yes.
like, you know what soccer teammates do? They go back to their houses and have basement makeout parties.
A lot of makeout parties happening in this movie. Basement makeout parties, which is very interesting. But like, So they end up going to the house and they're having a big out party and they're all like kind of doing a rotation thing for big out partners. And it hits that Jamie and Mary have to make out. And Jamie's on board. And Mary is like not. It's like like half a minute. And Mary runs out like crying almost. And then she gets arrested. And then she gets arrested.
Yeah, I was like,
And
what
while
is going on right now?
all this is happening, the ominous person who called about the car goes to the car place because this is the second day. They were supposed to already be in Florida. They did not make it to Florida by that time. So it turns out that there's something in the car that needs to be delivered to Florida. Like they need to have it again. And so like he sends these henchmen to go, and the henchmen remind me of like in Flushed Away, the like henchmen. So like the guy in charge, the obvious man, it, like I looked it up because I couldn't remember what his character's name was. It just is the chief,
Okay.
and the chief is played by Colman Domingo, and so Colman Domingo says the henchmen to go find them. So the henchmen are on this crazy goose chase trying to follow them and like find them. They find the ex-girlfriend. The ex-girlfriend beats one of them up. And then they have this whole thing. Ex-girlfriend is a police officer. And so once they go past the soccer team, they make it into Florida. But then they look at this billboard with like Matt Damon and his family being like the perfect conservative value. It's Ron DeSantis. It's basically Ron DeSantis. And they're like, hope we don't get stuck here. Immediately gets a flat tire. They get a flat tire. And so they go to the back to pull out the spare. And what they pull out is a briefcase and Pedro Pascal's decapitated head.
But they do not show yet what is inside of the briefcase.
No.
But
So, yeah. So they're like freaked out. They're like, what the hell is this? And so they go to a diner and open the briefcase and they look at it and they're like, oh my God. And but we don't know what it is. So
it was at this moment that I wrote down, I just know that the most insanely stupid, idiotic item. It's about to be in this briefcase. And I want to say that in the back of my mind, I feel like subconsciously I had an inkling of what this was going to be, just given other things in the movie prior to this. But I didn't fully bring it to the front of my brain. And then when we find out, I was like, yep, yeah.
yeah, so keep in mind there are funky little transitions happening throughout this whole thing. They make it to Tallahassee. They go to a hotel.
Called the
And
El Conquistador.
yeah, called the El Conquistador. And they get there. And I think this is the point where we find out what's in the thing, right? They open up the briefcase, it's just a ton of dildos. It's just a ton of dildos. And well, Mary and
Yeah.
Jamie's relationship is consummated. Let's say
Yep.
that. So Jamie actually takes
Oh.
Mary on a date, like a real one.
Well, first they consummate it before opening the briefcase. And then what happens
Yes.
is they wait. First of all, that scene very short and Mary immediately falls asleep.
Yeah, like,
And I was like, okay. And then they wake up
yeah.
and Margaret Qualley, who plays Jamie, is just absolutely going ham in the morning. And Mary is like, what are you doing? Like, could you not have waited for me? And then you pull the cover off, and I don't think it shows you what it is. And then she walks over to the briefcase, and there's four, well, there's three of the dildos, and then a missing, like, silhouette
What? Yeah.
that you can
So
then surmise that she's using, yeah.
when Jamie used her card, they were able to track it. The chief, Colman Domingo, was able to track it. Henchmen have been everywhere at this point. They're in the middle of nowhere. They're like, I think they're in Alabama at this point. And he's like, they're in Tallahassee. Go get them. So they go get them. And they are, I think at this point they do get captured, right? Like they find,
Yeah.
yeah, they're captured and they're taken captive. And the guys, like from their hotel room that morning, like right when they're like sitting there with the, and they forget, like they capture them, they're holding them captive. They're like, now we get to know what the 70s groovy funky scenes were. It was Matt Damon as Ron DeSantis's character, alleged. I don't want Ron.
Ron DeSantis inspired.
Yeah, the parody of Ron in the like 70s had sex with Miley Cyrus's character, who's named like, let me look this up because it was
It's like
so funny.
something plaster caster.
Yeah, it was like plaster cat. So like they like he's sleeping with her and then she makes a plaster cast of his penis. And that's what the dildos are from like highly influential and powerful people now. And so that's why they need it, is because he's running for election or something. He's running for governor or something. And so that's why they get him. But at this point, one of the henchmen who has been very angry and not allowed to be angry shoots the other henchman dead, shoots the chief, but runs out of bullets before he can get to them.
I
He
don't think we
runs
even
off.
see what argument is happening. Do we?
No, they're arguing in the background, kind of. And then they
You
get
just
like
see him
frustrated with each
shoot
other.
him.
Yeah, and then he just kills everyone. The girls are able to run away. Yeah.
I'm
Yeah,
trying to
yeah, yeah.
remember what
The girls,
happens.
no. They are able to run away. And so they go back to, one of them goes back to the hotel to get the last dildo. And then once they get that, they reunite at a second hotel. At the second hotel, Jamie calls the senator, the governor, whatever his name is, Matt Damon. He calls Matt Damon and is like, come to this spot for pickup. And like $1 million. And so they go and they meet at a club.
They meet
And Matt.
specifically at a lesbian bar that there's no way that it exists in Tallahassee.
Yeah, so they meet and he's like, you people are sick for keeping this. And like they trade for $1 million. And then they're like, okay, bye, Matt Damon. Matt Damon leaves. The ex-girlfriend,
He says,
what?
we didn't deserve this commodification. And then he goes, who are you, Democrats?
Yeah. I wrote that down too, where it was like, who are you? And they're like, Democrats. But yeah, so they walk out of the, is it a bar? Yeah, it's a bar, I guess. They
A
said club, but
non-existent
that's like a
fictional
loose
lesbian
term.
bar, yeah.
Yeah. So they walk out of the bar and Jamie's ex-girlfriend shows up because they made a bet that like if like what she was saying was not true, which she told her about like everything, the head, like whatever. She was like, you have to keep my dog, like the dog that they got together. And so she comes all the way to Florida to give her the dog. And as she's walking up there, they're talking. Matt
In
Damon
hand.
pulls a mask over his face and approaches the bar with a
The
gun.
lesbian bar with a gun.
And he's about to shoot when the ex-girlfriend kills Matt Damon. Or does she kill him? I don't think so. No, I think she just shoots him. Yeah, I think she
I
just shoots
don't
him.
remember.
He becomes unarmed, basically, is what happened. And so the end of the storyline is basically that they're like, senator found with a case full of dildos outside of a lesbian bar that he was trying to shoot someone at. And so Mary and Jamie get to enjoy the rest of their little Tallanasty vacay. They meet Mary's aunt. And then it's implied that Jamie wants to marry Mary and tells the aunt. or at least implies it. And that's how the movie closes. So there are a lot of loose ends, to say the least.
Yeah, I don't. I'm trying to look through my notes here.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. One of my first questions is, why did that second henchman just kill everyone? Like, I literally wrote down, why did he just kill everyone? Like, what? So he just like killed his boss and his like hench buddy friend. And like he sure he was like angry for the first part, but it seemed a little out of character, I'm not gonna lie. Like,
Yeah,
I don't know.
I'm just so confused by so many aspects of this movie. I went into this not really knowing a lot about it. Like, I had seen the trailer maybe like once on TikTok, and I think I was getting it confused with Love Lies Bleeding, which is the new movie that I think Kristen Stewart either directed or is at least acting in. I think she might have directed it. This was not Love Lies Bleeding, which I did realize before I started seeing the movie, but I was like, okay, it's that one movie that was advertised as like a road trip lesbian buddy comedy. Looks funny enough, has Beanie Feldstein. I like Beanie Feldstein. I was like, I should enjoy this. But I'm just so the whole thing, which I knew that one of the, like, I don't know a lot about the Coen brothers, so I had heard that one of the Coen brothers directed this, and I assumed wrote it. And then I'm watching this movie, and I wasn't sure that he wrote it, because I was like, I feel like whenever you refer to, like, a group, or, like, a couple of, like, the Daniels, or the Coen brothers, or, like, the, what is the one where Julia Fox is, like, Safdie, the Safdie brothers.
Yeah, the
I
Safdie
was,
brothers.
yeah. Whenever you refer to a group as like a group of directors, I feel like that also implies that they wrote it. I don't know why, they just go hand in hand. But I was
Yeah.
like, not 100% sure. And so I'm watching this movie, and I guess I had been under the assumption that this was probably written exclusively by a queer person, which wasn't completely untrue. But there were just like moments where, for example, like Margaret Qualley's character Jamie just feels like kind of like not, I wouldn't go as far as to say like a stereotype, but like it's really toeing the line. And I was just like, this feels like it was written by a straight man. So I go to look this up in the middle of the movie because I am not disturbing anybody because there's only two other people in my movie theater. So it is very easy to pull out my phone and look things up as I go. And I'm like, who wrote this movie? It's Ethan Coen and his wife, who identifies as a lesbian, but they're married. I didn't look super deep into like all, they have children, but I don't know how the children were conceived. And like, I am not in a place to be like, does that make you a lesbian? I don't want to touch on all of that discourse. But I feel like the combination of like a straight man and a lesbian, but then specifically a straight man and a lesbian who are married to each other, writing this movie together. That you look at that and you're like, yeah, that makes, that adds up. That adds up with this movie. Like, because some of the humor is so inherently like queer. So it's really confusing because you're like, I'm laughing because these jokes are queer. So it's like, it must be striking like some point accurately. But then everything else about it, like them getting together, I almost wrote down, I was like, I know that they're going to get together by the end because it's just giving like that cliche vibe to me. But I was like, let me give like more of like the benefit of the doubt. Should not have done that. That's exactly what happens. And yeah, I don't even.
I agree with you. I like halfway through the movie was like, who wrote this? I want to know. But yeah, I think that like I'm just thinking like in general, I feel like some of the jokes were just not hitting, or like sometimes I was like, I'm not quite sure where this is going. And then like it would just go nowhere. So like where the side character killed the guy, I was like, he just killed his boss and like the other hedge guys, like where did this come from? I don't understand where this is going. There's another scene where the henchmen get sent by the soccer team to a bar in the middle of nowhere, and they meet a man, and he has a very southern accent, so like it's a little hard to understand what he's saying. And then they end up going to other bars, but like the tone of that, it just felt like they were trying to make a joke, but I didn't understand what was going on. I didn't understand where they were trying to go with it. It felt like, at worst, a very insensitive joke, or like, I don't, but like, I what there was no funny humor to it,
Yeah.
and
Yeah. They get
confusing to
there
me.
and like you don't have a lot of time to like look at all the people there, but like from the small amount of time that we do get, these guys that walk in seem to be the only white people there. And so just like with everything else going on in this movie, you're like, is a racist joke about to happen? But then nothing happens. But then the fact that like you're even set up to have to like mentally prepare for something insanely like insensitive to go down feels poor, like in poor taste in and of itself. And so you're just like, all right, I guess that was like nothing even happens. Nothing that drives the plot of the movie happens
Yeah.
by them going there.
And that's what I mean, is like there's multiple points in the movie where I'm like, but like what was that for? So like when they take Pedro Pascal's head off, they don't explain why we need his head. Like, why did we need his head? Why did they behead Pedro Pascal under a statue of Ponce de Leon? Like, what was the Ponce de Leon shows up multiple times. Why are we why Ponce de, why is Ponce de Leon in Tallahassee? What
He's
not me in St.
basically,
Augustine.
I misspoke either, or yeah, earlier when I said that the first scene was Jamie cheating. I think the first scene is
Is the
Pedro
Ponce.
Pascal at this diner. And I think that he, because he has the briefcase, which this
Yeah.
is so confusing because if he's in Florida with the briefcase, how does the briefcase end up in New York and then it has to
It
go
wasn't New
back
York.
down?
It
Okay,
was
where was
Philadelphia.
it?
It was
Either
Philadelphia.
way,
That's
how
how they
does
were
it
supposed
end
to
up
make
with?
it in like a day or two.
Okay, that's the other thing I was like unclear on. I was like, how on earth are they supposed to get there in a day? But yeah, so he's like, I assume at this diner to exchange the briefcase, and the only reason I can think of that they would need to kill him is because he knows too much. But I feel like this is not a knows too much kind of like situation. Like I feel like you could
Yeah,
just
like
I think they say that he's like some rich collector who I guess collects plaster casts of significant people's penises.
why would parody Matt Damon want Pedro Pascal's head anyway? Like
Yeah,
what?
I'm like even if you need to kill him so that he doesn't know anything, why is his head there? Like,
Because then Matt Damon takes the head too. So he knows the head's coming with the package. But like he's like, why? But like that doesn't get explained at all. Like at all.
it's just for the visual gag of you seeing like a wax figurehead of Pedro Pascal.
Yeah. And then like another thing that I guess makes more sense than like these other two or like three things is that every time, multiple points. When Mary is asleep, she has this recurring memory dream of her as a child on a trampoline looking over her neighbor's fence, and the neighbor is a woman tanning naked with red country boots. And The next one is her drilling a hole in the fence to stare at the lady, which is kind of crazy. So she drills a hole to like stare at her neighbor like naked as she's tanning and swimming and stuff. And then at the end of the dream memory, the neighbor's husband comes out, and we don't even get to see his face. He doesn't even get to be like, it's like Charlie Brown, wah, 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 like kind of that style. We don't get to see his face.
Hey babe, when you gonna cook food?
Cooked
It's you.
dinner. And she's like, oh, okay, like sure. And so she doesn't towel dry. She puts on the red boots to go inside and make dinner.
It's
And
just
is the implied, like in my head, I was like, okay, is this supposed to imply that Marion is attracted to country women? Because to be clear, Jamie does a country accent, like a Texan accent.
Yeah, it took me a hot minute to adjust because I know how Margaret, not only do I know how Margaret Qualley sounds normally, but also just everything about her like image as like an actual person is like starkly opposite from this character that she's playing. And I will say that I do eventually become adjusted to it. Like, I don't think that this is like, I don't know, like I don't want to call her acting bad. I think that the movie just in general is a mess and she's probably doing her best with what she has to work with. But like the first 20 minutes at least, I'm like, you don't sound like that. You do not sound like that. I know you don't sound like that. I've seen you doing like contemporary ballet in like a Bleachers music video. I know that you're not a Southern Hey Mama's lesbian from Texas. What is going on right now? I guess as far as like the dream sequence and things like that, that's just like another thing where I was like, what parts were written by what's it, Ethan Coen?
Yeah, I think it is.
Already forget. And what parts were written by his wife, because like you would think that maybe his wife is trying to say something about like her own experiences with her own sexuality, but it's like, what are you saying then? What parts did you contribute to? Like, how even was the split? Because this scene of this like little girl just like peeping in on this woman just feels very like stereo, I would call this part especially like stereotypical, because it's like, oh great, so this lesbian has like a perverted sexual awakening. We can check off that box. And then there's also just like this stereotype of les I think it's like more frequent with like bi people specifically, but also like what lesbians experience this too, of like just cheating on their partners and like having complete disregard for like their feelings and you know all this other stuff. And Jamie seems to have like no remorse really about any of these things, to the point where it's like she's pretty much unlikable. Like, she was kind of getting on my nerves the whole movie and I was just like, I don't, this is not hitting the points that it's trying to hit.
I think I kind of like the two main characters. I like the, like, when they're in the movie together, like, just like points that they're interacting with each other. I do like Marion and Jamie's dynamic. I think it's fun, kind of like road trip buddy thing. I think it does fall a little flat at some points. They're not fully fleshed out as much as like I'd want them to be. So like Jamie and Marion feel like pretty one-dimensional, where Marion is like, oh, she's kind of like Puritan, like sticking to this like, no, like I need a stable relationship. And then Jamie's like, oh, like, but yeah.
These two are literally, I'm trying to remember the characters' names. Is it here? Hold on. Do, 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 do. Okay, yeah. These characters are literally Maureen and Joanne from Rent.
Never seen Rent. I'm sorry.
Okay, so Maureen is like this New York artist. She's bi. She's constantly like dating with people and breaking up with them. She doesn't really have any like regard at all for her partner's feelings. And then Joanne is this like, I think she's a lawyer. I can't remember exactly. And she's engaged to Maureen, and she's very like type A. Like I guess like maybe this is like Mary once Mary gets a little older and more confident in herself, but like the basis is the same, like very uptight, you know, high strung. Yeah, that's the dynamic that's playing out here.
Their
But
names start with M and J.
wait, maybe it's on purpose. I have no idea. But yeah, I don't like
Reference.
you're not told at all how they meet. And I think that it's very clear that like Mary is having conflicted feelings about Jamie. Like it seemed clear from the
Yeah.
get-go that she is attracted to her. But then it's like you don't get to know how they meet. For like the first half of the movie, Mary doesn't even seem to enjoy Jamie's company at all. And so I'm just like that part could be contributed to just like her being confused about her feelings, but I just don't think that like it's solid when you don't have like any kind of setup whatsoever. They're not roommates. Like you don't, and they're not girlfriends. They're not even like exes or anything like that. You're not explained that like I thought that maybe like in the scene where Mary is like peeping through the backyard fence that maybe like you were gonna see like a young Jamie come out and like maybe see them form some kind of friendship and get some kind of backstory. That never happened.
Yeah, I think like when I was watching it, I was like, maybe they're just like friends from a while back. I was like, I don't, because I couldn't really get any other kind of scope of what was going on. Yeah. We just don't get very much information about like really any of the characters other than like what's happened. Like, I saw some people say that the world building wasn't very good. It's also a very short movie. So like at certain points it kind of felt like, not that this is a like a criticism of student films, but like an early or stu like a student style film, like kind of
I was
shorter
literally
kind of.
thinking that like the whole way through. Like it, I mean, you finish your thought first.
Like, I think there's a lot of, like, with student films, there's a lot of bold choices and, like, cool things that they, like, take on with it. So, like, the psychedelic transitions, I will admit, the first one came on, and I don't know if you saw Uncut Gems, but they do kind of, like, transitions at certain points, and I was like, not again, not again.
Having like war flashbacks.
But, I like, but, like, that was. Like, I think in an interesting choice, and like when it is explained, it does make sense, and like was an interesting way to put it into the movie without like putting it too far into the movie. I do think you lose some people with it because it's very confusing and very like kind of random because it lasts a little longer than it should. Just a little too
I don't
long.
even know if I would say that. Like, it felt like, because I was telling you before we hit record, I was like, when we started to get toward the end, but I didn't know that it was the end yet, I was like, I go home now. Because it
Well,
felt like there was still a lot of like stuff left. Like,
yeah.
and then it
Oh, I
just
meant the
ends.
transitions themselves. The
Oh,
transitions themselves
okay.
feel like they go a little too long. But I
Yeah.
think that the pacing of the story, they get to Florida, and I thought we were halfway through the movie. We were actually 75% of the way through the movie at that point. So like that last 25% of the movie is sped run. It almost like it feels like they are speed running the last quarter of this movie to make it to 90 minutes, basically. Which like I think that is where like that amount of time we lost, even if this movie, because it's only 84 minutes, I think even with another 10 to 20 minutes of screen time would have done a lot more building. to kind of like fully flesh out the like two main characters and also like the chief and the henchman, because we also get most of the screen time between those five characters. And I think that would have made a big difference to make it feel a little less student film like. I think also that like, yeah.
Yeah, it's like if I had been told that like a student made this, I would have been like, oh, like this was funny, like good work. But it's so that's like, yeah, like you said, like not supposed to be like a critique or like a kind of like hit on film students, but it's like when you're a very like seasoned director, why is this what you're coming out with? You know, like, oof, I don't.
I don't even
I'm
think
like.
like necessarily it was bad. I think it's that like things like pacing and like are so critical. Like think like specifically like pacing and also like the story, like how there's a lot of like random dead ends in it, I think are reminiscent of student films because they're still like obviously learning how to pace, how to like do all of those things. And I think that's why like it felt like that for me, because those are the two things that I noticed. Like stood out to me the most from it.
I mean, even the humor, like I laughed at points, but like I think that my laughing was more out of just like shock. Like when Miley Cyrus comes up, I'm like, what is going on? As far as like the queer humor specifically, it kind of earned more of just like quick, short, like snorts through my nose, like and not really like laugh. And like all of the things that felt like they were supposed to produce like big laughs was like basically potty humor, very reliant on the
Yeah.
plot device of the dildos, and I was just like, what am I watching right now? And like I don't want to say that and sound like, because I will say right now that this movie has a low rating on Letterboxd. It could be worse, but I was expecting it to be even lower, and I was
Oh.
surprised that it wasn't lower, because like I'm not against like throwing random things in for humor and maybe like a potty joke here and there and like just, you know, absurdity. 'Cause I like Poor Things, for example. Or, I mean, it made more sense in the context of Priscilla, but like Priscilla also had like very like psychedelic scenes that were, I mean, they're tripping in one scene. So it like makes more sense and it's still a lot more reserved than in
Yeah.
this movie. But yeah, I just like after like one time funny, two times you get a light chuckle, three, four, five times I'm like, okay, what is happening right now? And like, yeah, like I'm worried about sounding nitpicky, but I think that if this were any other movie and you put these issues in that movie, these wouldn't be nitpicky critiques. This movie is just full of like things to me personally that I was like, why? Like, even there's more than just the like psychedelic transitions. There's this one scene where I don't even realize it until they explicitly say it. Because again, like an issue with the pacing is like they go from one place to the next. They don't tell you where they're going or how they got there or anything. They just show up in a place. And so, for example, like they kidnap the girls from the hotel, and then they're suddenly in this basement. And so I was like, okay, they're in the basement of the hotel. No, they, for some reason, and this doesn't make sense either, because why would they do this? They take them to a dog racing place, and there's these like bursts, like I wouldn't even call them transitions, because like a shot will happen and then you're still in the basement. It's these like shots, like B-roll footage of dog racing, and I'm like, what does this have to do with anything? And then they're like, and we brought you to this dog racing place, and you're like, okay, why? Like, what was the point?
I even completely forgot that they were at the dog racing place until just now because it doesn't really come up. They just like, because when they leave, it's not even a problem of how they're getting to a new hotel or the old hotel. They just get there. I just realized that.
And at this point, I can only assume they don't have a car. So you're like, are we traveling by map? Like, what is going on?
Traveling by map is the perfect way to describe it. But yeah, I feel like a lot of the time I felt similar about the comedy. Like, was I losing my mind when Miley Cyrus showed up in the psychedelic transition? Yeah. Was I quite humored seeing Matt Damon be parody conservative? Yeah, I was. I was humored. But it's like, that's so Florida, you know? Like, that's so Florida. A little chuckle when they made a jab at Tallahassee, you know. Absolutely losing my mind when Matt Damon turns around with a gun and a mask to a one of the very few lesbian bars in the United States, which may not even be real.
It's not
I don't
real.
know
I
if
can
that's
guarantee
it's
you
not.
it's
Yeah.
not real.
So that made me lose my mind, but I think it was definitely supposed to be a lot more shock in the humor. Like, at some point they're at dinner and like Jamie's like, you know, I'm gonna take you out, treat you real nice, and they're at dinner discussing having sex in front of the waiter, and it's supposed to be like, I think that the blatant sexuality and also the lewdness and like nudity and sexuality is treated humorously. Like, even the sex scenes are treated kind of like hee 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 ha ha ha. Because I'm trying to think of one serious sex scene, and it's, I think, the one with Jamie and Mary, like one, and then she falls asleep immediately after. It's
I was
like
like, okay.
literally turns her head and just like me 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 me.
Oh, true.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, I think
I'm trying
another
to.
movie comparison of like a movie that does this like random humor better, like this lewd humor better, is Bottoms. Like Bottoms has a lot of the similar things where there's very quote, because there's a lot of like, I wrote down a lot of quotes for this movie that I thought were funny, and Bottoms had a lot of the same thing, but it just felt much more earned and cohesive. And it's like, even the
Yeah.
same way that like both contain very like specifically like queer humor, and not, I want to make sure that everyone knows that I mean just like vibe wise and not like jokes explicitly pertaining to gay people. But yeah, but it's like, even with like the Florida joke, they make that joke like 5 times.
It is the same joke, yeah.
Like, they almost word for word every time are like, who's going to Tallahassee? And you're like, look,
But I
I
can't
ask
help it. I
myself,
just laughed right now. Like,
but it's lucky that we're from Florida, because imagine that you're not from Florida and you're watching this movie
very true.
and you're just like, you might know what Tallahassee is because it's the capital, but you're like, as far as you know, you want to stay away as far as like from Florida as you can, as like just an entire place. Like, I don't think that many people out of Florida know the nuance of like, stay away from Tallahassee specifically. Like, at one point, they compare
Yeah.
it a lot to Miami. I've only ever been to Miami for the airport, but I just living here, I'm like, I think Miami has a better rep than Tallahassee. At least Miami has stuff to do. I don't understand this constant comparison to Miami, because those are
They
not comparable places.
acted like Miami was Sin City, USA. I was like,
This
are we talking about the same Miami?
is like an
like I'm
alternate
sorry, they
universe
have
Miami.
clubs. Like what
I
is
bet
the
you wish you had
what is
clubs in Tallahassee.
like they should have been at the club. Like, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I think that there were like funny moments in this for me where I was like, why is Matt Damon here? Why is Miley Cyrus here? There's definitely like quotes and stuff that they say that I'm like, okay, this is funny. I just feel like it feels a little uneven. like you were describing, like it just doesn't feel as cohesive. And I think that's what kind of pulls away from it at some points. I did enjoy that, like I do enjoy a buddy road trip and like they end up together. That's like sure, that's cute. Also a movie where two lesbian women survive and end up together, have a happy ending. Yeah, no, I'm on board. I'm on board. Just because that is a thing in film, unfortunately, a thing in film. But yeah, I do like a road trip. I like that they're happy at the end and that they get to go unscathed with $1 million per $1 million and their copies of the
They still
dildo. And they get to go get married. Where were they moving? They were moving to
they it's the 90s, so they had to go specifically somewhere where it's legal already.
the Northeast. It was somewhere Northeast.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, but they go move. It's implied they go move to a state to get married. And
Yeah,
that,
which
what can I say?
yeah, at this point in the movie, the end, I was like, I don't want to be here anymore. Let me. I'm okay. I didn't hate it that much. Like, I still. I think that if I had seen this on a weekend, I would have enjoyed myself more. Also, if I had like known more going into it, I would have enjoyed myself more. But it's the fact that I was like, because the reason that Tell and I are recording on a Thursday is I'm going to Tallahassee this weekend and I'll be there the whole weekend, and we usually record like Sundays, and I probably cannot do that, so we were like, gotta record Thursday. So I was like, the only day I can see it is Tuesday, so I was like, immediately after work, go to the movies. And I just like the fact that I'm here on a Tuesday and this is what I watched. I was almost like, can you? I don't want to dunk on this too much because I did enjoy parts of it, but yeah, I think that the stars were not aligned for me when I saw this movie. But
There.
yeah, it was at the end that I looked up because I was like, I want to go home. If this movie had post-credit scenes, because it just gave me the vibe that it was going to. I don't know if that's like a side effect of like the Marvel age. But I was like, this just gives me the vibe. It didn't, but when I looked this up, I then found out that there are intentions to make two or three sequels. And I was like, with what material? Like, this is the Beatles biopics all over again.
So I was always also wondering about the Beatles thing. Are they gonna tell it like the same time period and we just see it through four different eyes? Are like the four actors gonna have to be involved in all four movies? Like,
You know how with like some of the Sarah J. Maas books, they're like, okay, you got to open to like page 100 of Crescent City Part 1. Then when you get to page 234, you have to open book 2 of Throne of Glass at page 59. And then when you're done with 59, you have to read every other word and you're just like, what are
that's
they
me with
planning to do?
the
They're like, okay, now
biopic.
pause.
Pause Beatles 1. Go to Beatles 3 because
Go to
George's
Ringo.
perspective goes wild.
Yeah, I don't. My
But
last
yeah.
fun fact was, I don't know if you saw this video I sent you yet, but apparently the Plastercaster character is based on a real artist. Ooh, that is a thing she did. The TikTok that I saw didn't say explicitly, but heavily implied it was consensual.
Okay.
Because I don't know how else. That's the, like, yeah, this was not a concern because I might not seem or sound like it throughout this episode, but I do possess some suspension of disbelief. So, you know, I wasn't worried about the logistics of how they're making the cast. But yeah, when I found out it was like based on a real person, I assume it's happening consensually. But yeah, she, I can't, let me look up her real name. Real Plaster Pastor.
I love when people Google and tell me exactly what they're saying. It's so
I
funny to
It's like it fills the silence so that I don't have to edit.
Google, show me.
Literally show me this mess. Her name was Cynthia Plaster Caster, and yeah, she made casts of celebrities' penises. Also, eventually, women's breasts. And apparently, I don't remember whose penis, but it currently sits in an Icelandic museum that she donated it to after her death in her will or something. Yeah, there's that.
Oh, she's in
What's.
many movies.
Oh.
She did Jimi Hendrix, Cello, Biafra of the Dead Kennedys. Interesting.
How many plaster casts out of five would you grade this movie?
Think it's three. I think that there were fun moments in the movie, and like, I like the actors involved in this movie. I think they all did a good job with what they had. Like it was all like, I thought it was fun. I think it is like a raunchy road trip. And like, yeah, I don't know what I expected. I didn't watch any of the trailers actually. I didn't watch anything going into it. All I knew was the movie, a vague plot synopsis, and I was like, yeah, I mean, I'll go. I give it three. I think that the reason it's not higher is because it falls flat in a lot of places. The timing's a little off for me. Some things just didn't make sense. But I do think that, like, it's an original movie, and these days that's what I need. It's an original movie. I like the actors. It was fun at some points. Also, like, those transitions, they really, Miley Cyrus, and I was like, what? Matt Damon, Pedro Pascal, there's just like, yeah, that's why I gave it three. What did you give it?
I gave it 2.5. I had originally put 2 when I entered it on Letterboxd. And then when I got on my car, I was like, all right, I'll give it 2.5. Because, like, parts of it did make me laugh. Like, I don't want to be quick to label it as having, like, cult classic potential. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I was like, maybe I'm being too harsh. But as someone who is historically easy to please, I get one harsh pass every once in a while, and I'm choosing to use it on this movie. So yeah, I gave it a 2.5. It just did not hit for me.
Valid.
Do you have any Letterboxd reviews?
I do. So my first Letterboxd review is by Leanna, spelled with multiple A's and multiple N's. They didn't rate it or anything, but they said she sounds like Sandy Squirrel. Is kind of funny. It's kind of funny. You know what? You know what? I like the accent. I was a little humored by it. I thought it was fun. I have M Batra 9. We gave it 3 stars. Does anyone know what happened to Curly? Curly is the guy who owned the driveway place, and they like beat him up like real bad. He's like on the floor, like just sitting there. And I think his last line is like, does anyone care about Curly? And he's played by the guy who's in Queen's Gambit, who's like Mr. Scheibel.
I didn't even
Yeah.
realize.
Yeah. I'm like, does anyone even care?
Here,
That's why I
I
chose
wrote
that
it.
review.
He said, "Won't anybody save Curly?"
No one does. No one saves Curly. R.I.P. Curly. This one says is by David Sims, who gave it 3.5. Surprise Damon means good movie, which I don't necessarily agree with. Like, Surprise Damon, the reason I picked it is because Matt Damon appears in like random things. I feel like Ethan Hawke as well. They're just two men that haunt my movie watching experiences. Like, I'll just be watching a movie and I'll be like, why is Matt Damon in here? Because, like, when I watched this movie, I literally was like, why would Matt Damon be there? Like, that's how I feel a lot of the time when I see Matt
The
Damon in a movie. I'm like, why would Matt
Enya.
be there? Yeah, like, why would Matt Damon be there?
He doesn't need to be in. No, I liked him in it.
Literally. No, I did like, I liked the Matt Damon in this one. This one is by Joel. And I'm just gonna read parts of this movie, of this review, sorry.
Okay.
So far, worst movie I've seen this year. And they do like a whole paragraph. And yes, Madame Web was technically worse, but Madame Web was exactly what I expected it to be. The plot is preposterous. When they were finally revealed what was in the briefcase and who it belonged to, I rolled my eyes at how stupid and unbelievably ridiculous it was. Painfully unfunny. I have no problem with a film being raunchy, crude, and vulgar, but I cannot stand vulgar immaturity.
How did you find my ghost account?
It just like it was just like kind of funny, like the way that it's phrased, like preposterous. That is the first time I've seen the word preposterous.
This
Like, I was
person
literally
is like
tripping on saying it, which is so funny to me.
writing their review with one hand and clutching their pearls with the other.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. Like, I can't imagine sitting there and like getting on my Letterboxd in the theater and being like, the plot is absolutely preposterous. One exclamation mark. Not even like two or nothing. Every time they're shocked, they put it like one exclamation mark at the end. The grammar impeccable.
They're like, here I detail my seven
My
grievances with this movie.
account of Drive-Away Dolls. Anyway, those
Yeah.
were my Letterboxd reviews. What were yours?
So I also had the Leanne one, but I have two others. Well, this one is by Maya Pog, otherwise known as MXMToon. And she said, 3 stars and liked it. Rumor has it Curly is still on the floor.
No, Curly. We're the only Curly fans here.
I love you, Curly. And then this one is by Zoe Rose Bryant, who gave it 2.5 stars. Gloriously gay, but also a little like a film student's approximation of a Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah.
Hit the nail on the head with that one.
I
And if
agree.
you that you like between Sunday and today.
Ooh, new things I like. Ugh, why don't you go first? I always go first. I
I
could simmer.
feel like I had something in mind and now I can't remember what it was. Let's talk about things I'm excited for because I have a lot going on this upcoming
Okay.
weekend. So I'm excited to see Dune 2. I really want the popcorn bucket. I know it's stupid, but it's. See, this is my point. I can have fun. I can enjoy a potty humor joke. Give me that popcorn bucket. Two, the reason I'm going to Tallahassee is because I'm seeing FSU's production of The Great Comet of 1812. And I'm
Ooh.
so excited. And FSU has like a pretty good theater program, so expectations are high. Hope FSU students can hear this. I'm joking. Yeah, so I'm excited to see that and hang out with Amy because that's where Amy lives. And yeah. Oh, also, I need them to give me the Bridgerton season 3 already because they are already advertising it and it's
Yep.
so far away, or at least it feels far away. And
When is it
I
coming out
am
again?
just like April.
Oh, I need it. I thought it was May or March, sorry.
I need
I
it
need it
on my desk.
yesterday.
Yeah, a month ago. Like, they are dragging their heels with this.
I feel like they've been giving me sneak peeks. They've been giving me like literally, what was it? They released like a picture like a couple months ago, and literally all it said was like Bridgerton season three. Like, and they were like, secret new look. And it was like two pictures. And those two pictures I've seen circulated, edited, cropped, cut, pasted, collaged, any kind of way that you could,
Reversed.
yeah, flipped. Like any way you can edit them, they have been edited because it is crumbs. It is crumbs that we've been given.
God bless those editors.
Yeah, like I'm seeing them
They
edit
hold
with like
the
four available pictures of like pollen, like
they're like the
Penelope
backbone of our
Evangelist.
society. No,
They're
like.
using like cuts. Like you can clearly tell they don't want to use as many clips from previous seasons because we all know about the Bridgerton like glow up for like clothing, style, everything. So they clearly just want to be using the new stuff, but they can't yet. And I know it's making them ill. Someone free them.
Yeah, like I like Paul Mescal. But like everyone goes pretty feral for him. And you just looked around like where is she going with this?
Yeah.
And I'm like I like him as an actor. I think he's charming. I think he's attractive. I don't know if I go as feral for him as like other people do. And then everyone is always like they've seen normal people and they're like this is why I need an ADHD diagnosis because I promise that I'm getting to my point. Everyone is like Paul Mescal, Daisy Edgar Jones, they're besties and they look like they're dating and we all want them to date. I don't care. You know who my Paul and Daisy are? These two actors that play Colin and Penelope. That is my Paul Mescal and my Daisy Edgar Jones. Like, if you watch them in interviews,
For the audience who can't hear what's going on, she's screaming into her mic silently, grabbing her face, screaming,
clawing.
clawing at her cage. Like,
Shaking the bars. Yeah. Anyways, what did you love this week?
I'd like to go off that Paul Mescal point, not necessarily him. But I just have to bring it up whenever I think of him. I think of that thing where they were like, after he hooks up with someone, he somehow and he's like, let's go for a walk. Runs. And then I think of how several months ago people were like, Paul Mescal spotted on a jog, and I'm like, now I can
Who is
put it
he running
together.
from?
Can you imagine being the girl and like or like the person he hooked up with the night before and you see a clip of him on TikTok like later that day of people being like, he's jogging, wow, so sporty and athletic. He must be training for that new movie. He's running from you.
He'll show up in like a recent interview, and all of the comments will be like, oh my gosh, Paul Mescal, like da 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 da. And I'm like, did we all forget? Because that wasn't that long ago that we all found out that he is like running away from his dates. We just got that over with like really quickly. And I just don't think that we like stayed on that long enough. Obviously, it's ridiculous. But like part of
You
me
have to
wants to
like
believe it.
train ahead of time.
Yeah, I don't.
Get your fitness up to keep up with him.
I'm inclined to believe silly, goofy things, okay? I want to believe them.
Want to believe that so bad because it's so funny.
So
Why
good.
would he do that? Literally, why would he do that? I guess things I love. I'm gonna love that Speed Racer movie. I feel it. I feel it so deeply. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for the new Tron movie, even though I'm scared. I need Daft Punk to come back together for it, but I don't know if that's gonna happen. And if not, I can't have them ruining it with cheap techno beats. I need artistry. I need craft.
You know Jared Leto's in it, right?
Yeah, I know. I know there's a lot of things that may weigh it down, but like a ship, we sail. We sail on. Also talking about sequel things, they're coming out with a new Ghostbusters. Did you see that's out already? I didn't even know. I feel like they're silently. I didn't think that they were gonna come out with another one, like the first Finn Wolfhard one, because they had the one before that. That was all the comedian Ghostbusters.
I can't even keep track of them anymore. Like,
Yeah, so like they had the Ghostbusters one where it was the all female comedian cast, and I watched that one. I didn't think it was bad. I think that one suffered from men being
that's it. Just cut it
misogynist.
off.
Yeah, like men existing and not wanting like women can't make a joke, I guess. Like IG, like it wasn't that bad, guys. Like please just watch it and like there are worse movies in the world. Like it wasn't that bad. Like let little girls wear Ghostbusters outfits. Like please, like it's not that deep. It tr truly not that deep. And then I saw the other one, which was the one with like Paul Rudd and Finn Wolfhard, and is her name McKenna Grey? Yeah, that one wasn't necessarily bad, but like it kind of was like, eh, like it was okay. So I didn't expect them to make a sequel, but I guess they did, and the only reason I know is because Regal Cinemas sent me a like email being like, if you buy a ticket for this, you get a free popcorn, and I was like, I do like popcorn. So I don't know, I might go see it, but it's really up in the air, because they haven't done any promo for it that I've seen at all. Like I haven't seen
Yeah.
any promotion for it, period.
I just watched Finn Wolfhard's like Hot Ones episode that came out today, and they bring up Ghostbusters, and I was like, in my head I was like, because they talk about past projects, right? So in my head I was like,
Yeah.
is that a past project or is he here for that reason? Because Hot Ones, people
Yeah.
come on to like promote stuff the way that you would like a late night show. So I was like, is he promoting? Didn't that come out already? Is there another one? Like,
Yeah, I like haven't seen anything about it, and usually like I watch YouTube, I don't pay for YouTube. I'm not gonna do that. The day I pay for YouTube is a dark day. So like I get ads, and you would think that the ads like I'd see, or like I would see some point, like they can pay to have the trailer come up. They can pay to like have an ad or something, or like a mid scroll on something come up, or like even on TikTok or whatever, because I would assume the demographic, because it's still headed by McKenna Grace and Finn Wolfhard, I assume that the demographic they would go for is younger, but maybe they are promoting it on late night and I just don't watch clips. I have no idea, but I don't even know what this movie's about. It seems like a lot of like nostalgia bait from just the pictures I've seen of it, like having old cast members come back, but I don't know. But that Twisters movie, you can bet.
man.
I?
Oh, wait.
What?
Oh,
What's up?
okay. So, Oscars this weekend. Ooh, I need to make sure. Wait, no.
The
Is that the
Oscars are this weekend?
Never mind. Wait.
M.
I'm just spelling MILF now.
We're just like MILF.
Never mind, never mind. Next weekend's Oscars weekend. While
Yeah, I
I'm
was like,
talking
it's
about it though,
still.
I'll probably make some kind of like ballot thing, where like I'll show like if you want to fill this out. I mean, I'll fill it out either way, but if you also want to fill this out, showing like predictions, like what me and Chell predict, and then like what we want to happen, and then I might like update it. Because I'll probably like watch it as it's happening, so like I'll either like make ones like to update them individually or just like put like them all on one thing. We'll see what happens. I'll probably be posting something like that on our Instagram. So if you're interested, because we're really bad at shouting out their social media.
Real.
Yeah, we're Man I Love Film Pod, no underscores, no dashes, no dots, nothing. On TikTok and Instagram, if you would like to keep up with us there. Also, if you like us talking nonstop, you should rate us because that's really sexy. And if you didn't like this, forget that I said anything.
If you didn't like it, maybe don't rate us because like a negative review will encourage us more to just keep doing it. So.
And if you give us a good rating, it will just encourage us more to keep.
We're like a negative and positive feedback loop. We just keep looping. If anything, we've discovered, like, what was it? Where it's like motion without any energy. Like, where it just keeps moving. It's like machines that just keep moving with no end or like beginning.
Are you talking about the sad sculptures that are like cleaning up paint?
Wait, what's like the oil ones? I'm talking about that concept where they're like, energy must. Cannot be created or destroyed, and then they're
Oh.
like the machine that just keeps going without like any energy being put in.
I did you word it like
Oh, no. I read
anyway,
it
man,
right. Hi.
love.
Film.